Hey, kids, this is Mark Arm from Mudhoney.
This is Nicole Alvarez from the world-famous K-Rock.
Hey, I'm James Joseph from James and the Cold Gun.
Hey, I'm Zozier.
Hey, this is Jeremy Toback from the band Brad.
Hello, this is David Abrazis.
This is Josh Evans.
This is Charles Peterson.
And this is the State of Love and Trust.
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 A Pearl Jam podcast.
Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. Feed the algorithm.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of The State of Love and Trust. It's a Pearl Jam podcast. I'm one of your two hosts, Jason Carapesi, and alongside me, as always, is...
Paul Guillieri.
Paul, we have started a new episode 201.
It is the back nine, as they say. Exciting times.
You're saying the front nine was 200 episodes?
Yeah, exactly. We got 200 more in us. We got 200 more in us.
I think the halfway house might have to help me out. Tell you what, I got, for those of you watching, I've got this beautiful Pearl Jam encrusted, it's like a, you know, one of those steel walled things. I got a little bit of coal here, Paul.
A little
honey with some, I got some tea with some honey, I should say.
That's good. You know what would kick that? Little apple cider vinegar, some lemon. Some honey, obviously.
Is this your tincture or is this a hot toddy?
It is my tincture. No, it's my tincture. Yeah. It's my tincture.
Don't spill it.
No.
I'm sorry. That's stupid.
It's an ant magnet.
Is it really?
Well, if it's got honey in it, it definitely will be.
Oh, yeah. Riveting content at the top of the show.
Yes.
So thank you for Jason's being here, everybody. We really do appreciate it. Paul, if they're listening only, what should they do?
Well, they should probably rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform of choice. Leave us a review. Feed that algorithm. It's the State of Love and Trust, baby.
Oh, look at that. A wild t-shirt appeared. Yeah. That's one of our t-shirts. Actually, I don't know. Is that out of print? Is that like now defunct?
I don't know. Are we all out of inventory on that bad Oscar? It's one of the originals.
It is one of the OGs. You know, it could come back if demand demanded it. Well, I'm going to read a few reviews that we've gotten over the last few weeks, because they're fun and they're nice, and it's nice to hear nice things about you. So I'm going to assume they're all about Paul and not about me. But here is one that says, these guys are fun, so fun to listen to, thoroughly enjoy the PJ content that they're putting out, and look forward to new episodes every week. Jason and Paul, get me through my commute.
Look at that.
That's nice. This one is super engaging, and the guests are too. The depth of knowledge in all areas keeps the conversation interesting. They can go in any direction. Paul and Jason, thank you. No, thank you, O_fan. How about that? This one is succinct, Paul. This one, it just says, sick podcast. Thumbs up.
Oh, well, I mean.
I like it.
Brevity is the better part of valor here, right? I like it.
Look at that. That was from G33 Thang. My wife left one, but I'm not going to read it because it's like, why? that's just, you know, she's feeding the algorithm, which I appreciate, but we don't need to read that one.
That's fair.
How about, it's lovely. I should say it's lovely, but you know. Going to PJ school. This is a cup left. I was never a PJ fanatic, but loved their music. Having listened to Jason and Paul break down the music, lyrics, and history of the iconic band has been priceless for me. Their guests are an amazing group of insiders that really makes listening an enjoyable experience. What a lovely bunch of people.
Yeah. Thou doth praise too much.
Stop, but go on.
Good stuff. You know, it's our duty to bring quality to the people because they deserve nothing less. If we're going to talk Pearl Jam, we should dig in with some authenticity is what I like to say.
Absolutely.
You know what? I have an idea.
What's up?
What if we practice some brevity on today's episode? What do you think about that? That should be the theme of the episode, brevity. How do we take this much and pare it down to that much?
Well, you'll see when we get to the lyric of the week. Oh, there's a lyric of the week. Real quick, if you want to help the show on YouTube, go ahead and like, subscribe to the channel, hit the bell, all that good stuff. And if you want some extra bonus content every single month, Patreon link is right there. We do a giveaway each month. And one of those things, well, the thing this month is this. It's a vinyl of the Dark Matter single. There it is. For those of you at home, Paul's holding it too. So if you want to win that, just sign up. And there's tons of really cool stuff on there. Anyways, yeah, let's get to the heat of the meat here, as I like to say. This is...
You killed my segue, by the way.
Did I?
Yeah, I was banging the brevity drum. I teed that one up for you, man.
I see.
I teed it up for you.
But I had to tell the fine people about the Patreon.
That's true.
I jumped the gun.
I jumped James and the cold gun.
Oh, see, now we're back in gear. That no, you're right though. This episode, why Paul keeps banging the drum on brevity is because it's an idea that Paul had a few weeks ago that is very intriguing because it makes you make some hard decisions and
very hard decisions.
I'm going to call it LP to EP, and that's going to be in the up there in the banner. Can you explain to the fine people what LP to EP is?
Yes. So by definition, an EP is what, 30 minutes or less? I think that's yeah, there you go. So those are the prerequisites. I suppose that's the only prerequisite,
really?
Ultimately.
But what do you have to do?
More or less. I mean, well, you have to take an LP from Pearl Jam's catalog and you need to convert it into an EP. So that means you have to make some tough cuts, right? So imagine if all Pearl, this is the start of a brand new series. Imagine if Pearl Jam only released EPs. And, you know, one of the things that gave me the idea for this exercise was I was listening to Alice in Chains and Jar of Flies and Dirt, and I was just exploring, I was exploring kind of like, I just liked how succinct and how well packaged both of those EPs were.
Yeah.
And another band that I listened to by the name of Anne Berlin has released two EPs in the last couple of years. And I thought it leaves you craving more, right? But you really get an opportunity that there's no room for filler. You know what I mean? Not that every LP is going to have tons of filler, but this exercise forces you to really strategically think about, you know, how do you want to reshape this record? So you could take an LP and you can rearrange the tracks, but you're obviously going to have to shave some off. I mean, even Pearl Jam's shortest album, Backspacer, is not less than 30 minutes. So you'd still have to make cuts there too.
That's right. Well, you said, let's try this. And I go, okay, let's try this. And we decided to start things off with No Code.
Yes.
And it was, I don't know if choosing... I think in the beginning, because remember, this is not a greatest hits. This is, if you took the theme and the arc of the album and had to distill it, you know, there are some tracks on this, on my version of this, that if you said, well, what are the best tracks? What are the greatest hits, quote unquote, of No Code? There'd be tracks that would not be here or would, vice versa, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's a method to this madness. And it is madness. So I went into it and I said, you know what? I think I have a couple here that I know for sure have to be on. But then it's like, well, what am I trying to say? What was the band trying to say? How will it flow? Because you can change the tracking of this too. This is totally, it's kind of like a playlist, but of the album sort of thing. So I love it. And I think in the order of brevity, I will shut the hell up and let you give me your first song.
Okay, so I decided with this one, I thought about the record as a whole, this idea of No Code, right? This idea of not being tied down to a prescribed or mandated way of doing things. And Pearl Jam really tried to break free, I think, of what they felt had been shackling them at the time. And that arduous process nearly tore them apart as a band. But the stabilizing presence, the anchor, was Jack Irons. And I think that there's no better way to introduce this record than with who you are. So right off the bat, you have that nice fade in, and it's Jack. And it's Pearl Jam saying hello in a way that we had never heard before. It ultimately was a lead single off this record, but more importantly for this particular record, I love the idea of Jack's drumming being the introduction. Currently, it opens with Sometimes, but I think Who You Are, especially in the framework of an EP, I really like the way that that kind of just fades in with those drums, and it's like, oh wow, we're definitely marching to the beat of a very different drum.
That is true. That is true. And definitely, listen, I think a lot of you out there, if you're playing along at home, you would probably go with Who You Are. I think a lot of you would. And I see all of the valid points for that, and I think it's a very fine choice. I think we'll all have a good chuckle.
An underrated way to open a show, too.
You know, have they ever?
I don't believe they have. I'd have to go back and double check, but...
You're doing your next song, I'm going to look that up, just because now I'm curious. All right, so I am not starting with Who You Are, but you'll get a good chuckle later on when I... Well, you'll see. I'm going to open with I'm Open.
Oh,
I think
okay.
Lyrically, I think this song is super no Cody, and I love that for its inclusion here. Plus, it's relatively short, but also musically very diverse, and... In some alternate timeline, I like it as like the first studio thing you hear since hearing Foxy Mop.
And, okay, that's a nice match cut of sorts.
Yeah. I think it presents itself in the mood of No Code very well. And even though some consider this song filler, I believe it belongs on the record, and I believe it belongs right here, leading off this EP version of No Code.
Solid. I like that. Very outside the box.
You wouldn't have thought that for me, would you?
No. I did not see that one coming. I love it.
Okay. Next choice.
I'm going to go with just a classic playlist trope. You know, you have that nice, smooth lead-in, and then you just get punched in the mouth with the second song, right? Got to elevate things. And Hail Hail is that song on this record. So I would go into Hail Hail here. I like the pairing too with Who You Are and Hail Hail. Just that focus, you know, that line there. Are you woman enough to be my man? Followed by a song like Hail Hail, which is an ode to relationships that do or do not work, depending on how you want to read into that song. So I think there's a cool dichotomy happening there. So I'm going to go Hail Hail. So now at that point, we are about somewhere around 7 or 8 minutes in.
Yeah. Okay. By the way, Who You Are has opened a show once.
One really? Time. When?
Yes. November 25th, 1996 in Lisbon, Portugal. The show that our friend Charles Peterson regaled us the story of Eddie jumping into the pit after duct taping his boots and then faking injury going back to the hotel at Cash K.
Yes.
How fun.
How cool is that? What a great connection that was.
Yeah. There you go.
For me and our listeners. Love it.
Yes, that's true. Okay, so my second choice is going to be Sometimes. I've always thought it was a really cool opener anyways, and I think coming out of I'm Open, I look at I'm Open as kind of like a prelude. Or a prologue, if you will. And the album, you know, really starts, if you will, at Sometimes. And, you know, if you talk about moods or vibes, you know, of music a lot. And I think this one hits the mark when it comes to No Code. It's got a gentle guitar, and the close miking of Ed's vocals. It feels very intimate. I like that it would follow I'm Open in this exercise. And it's an admission. It's Ed opening up, quote unquote. You know, he's really exposing himself on this record, right? And I think it's more specific than it was on I'm Open. I'm Open is here I am open to discovery, to self-preservation, to whatever. And then now let's dive into what that means. And I think this implies possibilities. I think it implies humility. I think it implies agency, as we'll learn later on in the record. And I think these are all interesting topics to discuss within the comfy confines of No Code. So I'm going to go with Sometimes as my second choice.
Well said. I'm sticking with Jack. I'm going in my tree here.
Okay. All right.
or the third track. It's very eclectic. I got a little bit of a story building here. This is more in the vein of the way you would build, I think, a lot of our retrackings, right? So you have, who you are, right? Are you woman enough to be my man? Apparently not, because hell is an indication that that's not going to work out. And then we have In My Tree, which is, you know, I'm just going to climb a tree, smoke a cigarette, and just kind of get lost in my solitude and contemplate my place in the world. But again, I mean, Jack is very heavy at the forefront of this EP. So I think that, or LP, sorry. So I think that that LP and EP,
and
I guess, right?
And EP, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think that works really, really well. And it's just very percussive. And you get this sense of a brand new experience when it comes to a soundscape from this band. So I like that kind of wave with Who You Are, followed by Hail Hail, and then coming back down into In My Tree.
Yeah, no, that's, I love that you're building a story here. It's definitely something obviously that I love. If you guys have been listening or to the show for any length of time where we've done one of these retrackings, I do love to weave a narrative. And, so I'm digging this. Now I am going to, go with Hail Hail. I have always loved the 1-2 punch of Sometimes in Hail Hail, and I'm not going to deviate from that. Plus, I think this song is a No Code staple. And I also think that this is Jack Irons rocking out at his finest. So we've got to tick that box on this EP. This is one of my favorite chord progressions as well. And my favorite offbeat relationship songs, as you've articulated already. Something we mentioned recently on our second single, Time Machine, episode, by the way. So go back and check that episode out if you want a little bit more on why Hail Hail is a smart choice to put out into the world. You know, I think that the band believes it's the greatest hit. I mean, it's on Rearview Mirror, and I agree. And while this isn't, like I said, a best of exercise of No Code, per se, it very much speaks to what No Code is for me in a lot of ways. And you'll see how those things kind of intertwine and weave together as you're weaving a tale yourself as we go. But I think Hail Hail makes a lot of sense for a number of reasons following Sometimes. So I'm sticking it at 3.
I like it. I like it.
So you're up to 4 now. I don't know where we are in the TRT of this thing, but I obviously,
well, for me, the TRT comes under 30, obviously.
As is mine.
I'd say about 2.5 to 3 minutes shy of that, I'd say.
Oh, okay.
When I thought about it, I like the idea of Red Mosquito here. When you look at the genesis of this song, you know, Eddie Vedder once said that the whole Golden Gate Park show was a blur. He got food poisoning. It was really, really bad. He looked back on it at the time, and to him, it didn't seem as intense, but it was horrible in the moment, is the way he described it. He felt like he wasn't human. And in retrospect, he feels like, or he's gone on record as saying that he should have got through that show somehow. And he thinks that if Neil Young was there, that Neil would have made him feel like, you know, he could get off the hook in some way and then go out and do a couple of songs. But he just didn't feel good about the whole thing at the time. He just felt very swallowed up by that whole deal. You know, so it's a situation where he just couldn't make it work. He just couldn't do it. But in retrospect now, he thinks, or he thought when he was interviewed, that he probably could have gotten through it. And so I like that as a you know, thematically looking at this relationship, like thinking, could I, the sickness, the toxicity that the relationship had become, could I have gotten through that? You know what I mean? Should I have just gutted it out? You know, did I give up too early? So I kind of like that idea of questioning things in reflection and how it kind of forces you to reevaluate your choices and ultimately, hopefully, reaching the conclusion that you made the best decision that you knew how at that time, but trying to grow from it. You know what I mean?
I like
Red Mosquito here.
What I knew then.
Yeah. If I knew now, what I knew then. Exactly.
Mm. you said my next song already. It's In My Tree.
You know, good call.
If Hail Hail was Jack rocking out at its finest, then this is Jack being Jack at its finest. Lyrically, this might be the most No Code-y song that there is. So for me, it has to be here for that reason. And it could be the best song on the record. if not four, maybe another one that I'll probably get to later. But it's sort of like a pinnacle song for me in that, you know, one reason why it's in the middle of this LP turned EP, and by that I mean it's arranged with a zenith of sorts, you know, both for itself and the record as a whole. And thematically and musically, it touches the kind of the highest points of what No Code really means to Ed and the band. So I love it being kind of the middle point of this for me. Like, you're reaching the moment that really makes the record. And it's the moment that makes, I think, Ed feel like he's actually found some sense in this chaos of his life. Yeah. And so maybe everything after this is kind of like, well, how do we deal with that now? How do we move on with it, with that knowledge? So, In My Tree, in the four slot for me. And I've got four songs left. I don't know how many you have.
Let's see here. I've got three. Okay. And part of the reason I have three is because Off He Goes is 6 minutes long. That's why. Mm-hmm. So I slip Off He Goes in here after Red Mosquito. You know, this is that realization that I need to be better. You know what I mean? I haven't been the best friend I could be. So, you know, here you have this narrator or this subject that is kind of steeped in regret and is kind of isolating himself away from bonding and making human connection. And it's easier to just slip away rather than find yourself tethered to someone and, you know, watching it all kind of crumble in front of you and then dealing with the wreckage thereafter. So I like the idea of, you know, being reduced to a state where now even your relationships with others is now being impacted. In this case, your friendships. You know, and you start to realize, man, like I haven't been a really good friend. And but the beauty of it here, and the reason that I like this song placed here, is because the perspective that it's told from, the perspective is that of the other person. And the ability to adopt perspective and expand the bandwidth of your actions and how they impact and affect other people, I think that is a sign of growth. And in this moment where, you know, you're emerging out of this cave of being very self-centered, right? Which, of course, when you're hurting, it's very hard to adopt the perspective of others because you're very much anchored or rooted into, or by, I should say, by those own heavy feelings, right? And in this moment, you really start to see growth because you're starting to see it from someone else's point of view. And that helps you change, you know what I mean? That's the impetus for change. So I like this song placed here.
You've
got
to be open
here
to change. And that's
you
the
have to be
part.
Open to it. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. Yeah. So the sequencing is starting to come together here.
Yeah, no, I'm very much enjoying this, and also sort of envious that it's yours, not mine. Nevertheless, I must press on, and I'm going to press on with the song Lucan. For one,
oh, wow.
I had time. And you another
did.
Reason.
You sure did.
It's not one of the, you know, it's one of the other facets of this record. This is the aggro side. This is the good aggro side. This is, you know, it gets feelings out quickly. Talking about brevity. It leaves kind of a little bit of rubble in its wake. And at this point in the LP, I really wanted to, or EP, I guess I should say, I really wanted to hit a musical kind of limit going into another. And by that I mean, you know, I might go in a more tranquil route. I might, you know, hit that like aggro limit and be like, okay, that's enough of that. How do we pivot from this? And maybe find some more tranquil, cerebral territory. And I think thematically, it does a great job of connecting the main character of In My Tree with the character of my next choice, which we'll get to in a few minutes here. But I like Lucan as kind of a bridge song, and 58 seconds, I can fit it.
You sure can.
Yeah.
So for me, we're finally going to experience a quiet moment in this EP. It's been pretty eclectic. It's been loud at times. It's been frenetic. And I think after this reflection and this awakening, or this moment of growth that we experience, and off he goes. It's a perfect segue into a song like Sometimes. This is a moment of acquiescence. It's a moment of acceptance. It's a moment of understanding and clarity, where you start to realize that you have a part to play, right? And you decide you're going to devote yourself, your small self. There's an element of humility that emerges here. I like that line, like a book amongst the many on the shelf. It's not just about me, you know. I've kind of come around to the idea that after everything I've been through in this moment, you know, now that I've been able to absorb and adopt perspective, that it helps provide a sense of clarity that maybe was difficult to adopt before. And what I now know, you know, if I knew then what I know now, is that sometimes I know and sometimes I don't. You know what I mean? Sometimes I cringe and sometimes I live. Sometimes I walk and sometimes I've got to kneel, you know? And sometimes I just speak of nothing at all. So I love this song here because it's that capitulation into just life and realizing that I can't control everything. And sometimes life is pain, and that's okay, because that's still feeling. It's intense feeling, and it reminds me that I'm alive. And I really am just one book amongst many on the shelf. And that doesn't mean my story isn't important or inconsequential, but it does mean that it's mine, and it's mine to tell. So I think that this is a beautiful, quiet moment. Now, obviously, it's a perfect lead into what ends the EP, which I'll get to momentarily. I'm sure you could see this one coming, though.
Oh, of course. Well, I've got one more here before you get to your final one. And my next one here is Off He Goes. You've already said why it makes a great choice to be here. And that's kind of why I wanted it to follow, what did I have here? In My Tree, and then Lucan giving way to Off He Goes. You know, as alluded to, this song is more of Ed figuring his shit out, I think. As he said in the binaural tour, I believe it was in Poland, that this song is about a shitty friend, and, oh, by the way, that's probably me. it's musically as diverse as everything else. Maybe not since Footsteps have we heard an acoustic song with this kind of tranquility. And you might laugh and say, okay, well, how is a guy in the speaker of Footsteps in a prison cell, is that really that calm? Well, yeah, he's alone. Everything around him is calm, even if he's seething inside. And this is a different kind of tranquility, a different kind of calm. And it's eerily still when you hear this music, because it always feels like a campfire. It feels like, you know, a few people, a few friends are gathered in the middle of the woods, and this shitty friend came along, but then he left. And it's like, there's just a different facet of those words to me, and this makes sense for that moment. And I think this song takes us on a journey. I think the album is a personal journey for the band, and especially Ed, and it's arguably the middle act between Vitalogy and Yield, if you want to think about it that way, the journey part of things. So I like Off He Goes here. I've always really enjoyed this song. What have you got to finish this thing off with?
Well, after surrendering to the absence of control, Jason, in Sometimes, we now embrace the present tense. You start to see the beauty in the ordinary, the extraordinary in the ordinary, seeing the way a tree bends, feeling inspired again, feeling like you found your pulse after being lost for so long. And realizing that you can spend your time alone, as you have been, redigesting all these past regrets, or you can come to terms with all that, and you can realize that you're the only one who can't forgive yourself. And it makes a lot more sense to start living in the present tense. And with that, present tense competes and rivals, I should say, Release for the best finish to a Pearl Jam record. Can you imagine if this song ended if this is any, man, it's like, people already love No Code, but it took folks a long time to kind of get around it. When I started listening to this as an EP constructed this way, I like fell in love with this record all over again, but to a whole new level. And in my head, I was thinking, gee, if this is the way it came out, I really think it would be an honest debate whether or not present tense or release is the greatest ending to a Pearl Jam record ever.
And what's interesting about that is how present tense, it didn't find that kind of legend status until what?
Avocado Tour.
18 years ago. So, but release has been, acclaimed forever. It's a funny timeline there. Well, present tense is my next song.
Excellent.
If there's any lesson you need to take away from this album, let alone Pearl Jam's entire catalog, it's the one herein. This is what I was referring to earlier. This is the zenith of the record from a thematic, lyrical, and musical standpoint. It's the most essential song on the record, and it would end this LP turned EP for me, if not for one other song, I think, within the parameters of the exercise. And it'll make sense in a second here, but everything you said about present tense absolutely applies here. I think it would be a great main set closer. I don't think you can just end with it. As an album, yes. With a show, no. I feel like you need to have something. And I often think of these retrackings or these playlists or whatever as like mini shows in my head. And so, because of that, I want to kind of put a coda on things and use Who You Are as that coda.
Oh.
This is the Jack album, right? Let's end with some more prime Jack. So if you think about the themes and lyrics of present tense, I think following that up with and ending, the LP turned EP with Who You Are is a great one too. And it's such a positive thing too. I mean, you are who you are. You have a part to play. I love ending this thing with those thoughts and Jack's signature playing as the ending, as the coda. And as perfect as an EP closing or LP, whatever you want to call it, with present tense would be, I have to figure out another way to do this than you. So I have to go through Who You Are. And that sneaks me in at the 30-minute mark. So I'm right there, barely right there. And that's why I was able to get Lucan in there, which helped me out. But anyways, there you go. There you go. I'm curious what y'all think about these LP turned EP.
Run me through your list again.
All right, sir.
Let me hear those tracks.
Well, we got I'm Open, Sometimes, Hail Hail, In My Tree, Lucan, Off He Goes, Present Tense, Who You Are.
Okay. What was your toughest cut?
Probably Red Mosquito. But Around the Bend was also very hard to get rid of.
Yeah. That was hard for yours? Me too. No, it wasn't my toughest cut, actually.
What was your toughest cut?
I love that song. But let me give you the lineup one more time. So we have this EP is Who You Are, Hail Hail, In My Tree, Red Mosquito, Off He Goes, Sometimes, Present Tense. I'd say the hardest cut for me was Smile. I really felt like needed to be here. On a lot of levels. I really wanted to have I'm Open on there too. And I don't know. This just started to come together. And before I knew it, like those were the songs that just seemed to. And what it taught me was like this for me, that is the thread of this record. All those other songs are these knots that kind of loop on. But those to me, I think I've realized for myself that that's the core of that record
there. That's the spine.
Interestingly enough. Yeah, that's the spine.
Well, curious what you guys out there think about this exercise, LP turned EP. So if you want to join in on this, go ahead and type yours into the comments below or in the comments on the Instagram post or tweet us or whatever you want to do. Discord if you're a patron and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. And we will debate and we will talk about it. And I'd love to know why you think X, Y, and Z should be at A, B, and C. As we always tend to ask y'all. Okay, Pearl Jam, often when they play live, has encores. Do they not? Is this the worst segue?
But sometimes too.
Sometimes. And often hopefully too. Maybe, yeah, maybe we'll get two encores again this tour. I don't know.
Perhaps.
But, you know, we did last episode on our 200th episode, we did a mailbag and there were some questions we just didn't get to. So, you know, these people took time to write questions. There's a few extras here. Let's go ahead and knock them off in our encore here. Encore mailbag. Encore. I don't have like a fun little jingle here, but that was it. Okay, let me start thing up. Just really dumb thing first here. Marie23 on Instagram asked me, and I said in the previous episode that I would get to it, and I just didn't. Why and how is Jason an Arsenal fan? Long story short, looking for a team to follow. England, because that was like the best, and it still is the best league in the world. I wanted a team that played in a city that I would probably visit, London. I wanted a team that wasn't like the Yankees, but was also not crap. And I wanted a team that had like at least one really good player. And the first game I happened to watch was a game where Thierry Henry decided to go crazy. And I go, oh, I like this. I like the colors. I'm in. And that's, I've stuck with them all these years later. That was like 2003, 4, 5, something like that. I forget what exactly when, but maybe 5 actually. So that's why, Marie. So, but let's do a question that Paul cares about. That, or we can ask Paul, how did he become a 49ers fan?
Born and bred, man. Born and raised in San Francisco. My dad was a huge fan. So I was inundated from birth, basically.
There you go. Okay. Al Skebo on Facebook. Movie soundtrack songs. What's your favorite from PJ or Eddie? Which director that they haven't worked with yet do you think would be an interesting combo?
I mean, how many? My favorite. I guess my favorite sound. I love Society from Into the Wild, even though it's a cover. So I don't know if that counts.
I don't think it matters.
I guess not. You know, I'm going to go with our show namesake. I'm going to go with State of Love and Trust.
Yeah.
I think it's absolutely a greatest hit. And, it's, I've always loved that song and, it made me want to watch singles. Like I heard the soundtrack before I saw the film. So,
oh really? I mean, I had heard who was on the soundtrack and then I go, oh, that's interesting. And then I watched the movie and I was like, oh, this is awesome. Got the soundtrack.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to say State of Love and Trust and Breath side by side, obviously the best in my opinion. But I think even though it's a cover, I think Hard Sun is fantastic. And I think the entire Into the Wild soundtrack is just perfectly made for that movie. So
now what director would you like to see them work with? And you can't say Cameron Crowe again.
Yeah. I mean, you're more the movie guy than I am. Why don't you go take this one?
You know, I like some of the sonical diversity, sonic diversity that we've been experiencing from the band recently. And I'd like them to channel, a darker side of themselves. I'd love to see them work with like David Fincher. Mm. I think that would be really, really cool. Aside from that, I mean, it's definitely tough. There's a lot of great directors out there, but I think
Greta Gerwig. Trying to
think of like, there you go.
Barbie 2. No, I mean, she obviously does more than that. Okay, next question. Single speed going steady on Threads. This is going to be a hard one. I don't know if I have an answer for this, but we're going to try. What's your favorite post 2000 sub pop album?
Now I had to research this because there's like hundreds, of releases. It's insane. So I don't know if I have one single one, but I'm going to share with you a list of artists from sub pop that I don't know if everybody listening have heard. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Father John Misty, I think a lot of people have heard.
Yeah.
He's got some good songs. Beach House has a couple of really cool albums on sub pop. Mudhoney, obviously everyone knows about, but I love Greg Dooley. He's the lead singer in the Afghan Wings, and he's got a side project called the Twilight Singers. And there's one release on Sub Pop for the Twilight Singers. It's fantastic. And there's an Afghan Wings album on Wings Sub Pop. Or Wigs? That's really cool. Wigs, pardon me. Thank you. Afghan Wigs. Sorry.
That's a cover band. Afghan Wigs.
It is a cover band. Exactly. Afghan Wigs covering the Afghan Wigs. I love the No Twist. They've got some really cool stuff as well. They've got a great song called Consequence. Check that one out. Maybe I'll probably link that one in the Discord for folks to hear. Fleet Foxes has some really cool albums. Yeah, really cool albums. Blitz and Trapper as well. Those two bands, Fleet Foxes and Blitz and Trapper, same style of music. Kind of has that like Americana vibe to them. So I would check them out. And then, I mean, obviously Band of Horses and Postal Service are probably the most prolific ones out there. So,
well,
if I had to pick, that would be the list. I don't know how I narrow that down to one, to be honest with you, but those are the ones that stand out most. I did not. I guess if I had to pick one, it would probably be the Twilight Singers record. But.
Okay. There are, I mean, like you said, there's a ton. There's a band that I learned about from Mark Arm, and that band is named Metz, M-E-T-Z, and they have a few releases on Sub Pop. They're kind of noisy and just heavy, and they're a lot of fun. I would say, though, and maybe this is cheating, my favorite is the Mudhoney record after Matt Lucan left, which is called Since We've Become Translucent. And I really, really like it. It might even be my favorite of theirs, which is crazy to say to some people, but I really like that record. So I'll say that one. I think that was 2002 or 3 that came out. So let's go back to Stip from our Patreon. And just being buds, you have both been lifelong fans of Pearl Jam. How has what you look for / want out of Pearl Jam's music changed over time?
The easy answer is early on, I kept wanting to hear 10 again. I think that the sound was just so magical for me that I kept looking for, you know, a return to form. You know,
don't say that.
And you kept seeing that, and like I remember reading that in the review of Yield, like a return to form. It's like, ooh, what does that mean? And of course, the first thing that popped in my head when I read that review was 10, and Yield doesn't sound anything like 10, right?
It's
and
called marketing, now,
exactly. Now I'm looking for the polar opposite of that. I want to hear them do something I've never heard before. That's what I loved about Dance of the Clairvoyants, was it was Pearl Jam from an entirely new vantage point. So I'm excited about you know, the way that they grow and evolve as musicians. I like the evolution of their sound. I'm excited about what this new record holds. So I would say the easy answer for me at this point is I've really shifted into being excited and looking forward to something different and something new. Even if it's like turns me on my head, that's kind of what I'm into at this point with this band.
I think right now, with Dark Matter ahead of us, and it's a little bit easier to say this now that I've heard Dark Matter, but the song, I think an evolution of their sound is what intrigues me, not a return to form. Not something completely new, because obviously when I heard Dance of the Clairvoyants, I was
You were terrified.
Hold on. But as we learned with our lead single Time Machine episode, that could have been avoided because it's a good song. I would say, an evolution of their sound. And by that, I mean taking great moments from across the instrumentation, the arrangements, the production, and cobbling together a new transformer. So you go, oh man, they're doing that thing from Yield, but they're also doing that thing from No Code. And there's a little splash of 10. I can see those things working. Oh, that's amazing. Like, I love when I hear all of Pearl Jam in something new. Like, it's the same ingredient. You know what it is? It's kind of like Italian food or Mexican food, where there's like only so many ingredients that are actually used, but somehow they get rearranged a bunch of different ways. You're like, this is amazing. Okay. That was amazing. They're different. What the hell's going on here? Yeah. You know what I mean?
You want some fusion, some back catalog fusion.
Yes. So,
got it.
Hearing Gigaton, the other songs in Gigaton, I think did a lot more of that. And then Dark Matter is very much that. So I'm very stoked for the rest of the record And yes, that's that. That'd be my answer. The evolution.
Good
of
answer.
Sport. Yeah.
Good answer, Jason.
All right, we have a couple more here. Jim Swain on Twitter, and I forgot to actually finish the notes on this, but rank the songs whose titles contain the word or form of the word "go." So those songs are "go," "off he goes," "gone," "why go," and there might be more, but I forgot to look at the rest.
Well, just move "why go" to number two, and that's the order.
Behind "go."
Yeah. "Go," "why go," "off he goes," and what was the last one? "Gone." There you go.
Are there any other songs that have like a variation of "go" in them?
I'm sure there are, and I'm just not thinking of one. But
I'm sorry, Jim. I meant to look up the rest of them, and I just didn't have time. But nevertheless,
well, hey, I mean,
nothing's beating "why go."
We have four there. That's you know, that's a mini EP. We
got five.
Five. There you go.
Brevity. You.
Brevity.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Sorry, Jim. There you go. All right. Stone Riff from Discord. Hi, Stone Riff. Catch you in the channels. Which album is the strongest lyrically?
Ooh, oh, that boy. One's tough.
Oh, boy. Oh,
that
boy.
One's really tough.
That's a $10 question.
I guess you could argue Gigaton, but there's some really special stuff happening on Backspacer as well. And then, I mean...
Here's the problem, is that there are some special stuff on every record.
On every record, yeah.
And it's like, I was scrolling through them, and I'm just like, oh, yeah, there's probably like...
I guess Gigaton or Backspacer, like off the top of my head, if I, you know,
yeah,
if I had to name an album, only because like there's, you know, Comes Then Goes lyrically is a shining moment. I mean, obviously, The End and Just Breathe and
yeah,
Unthought Known, like there's some really, really fantastic lyrical writing on Backspacer too. So
I think Vitalogy is also very strong.
Yes.
Very, very strong.
Really special stuff on there too.
So yeah, that's a tough one, Stone Riff, because front to back, Gigaton might be it, honestly. I mean, there are some great turns of phrases in there. And 7 o'clock's word soup aside, like he writes some great lines in there. Just there's just too many of them. Yeah. That might be the answer, but Vitalogy got strong.
Maybe
Backspacer, even Riot Act and Binaural had some great moments. They all have obviously
they all do.
Great moments. Duh. Hello. Easy answer.
They all do.
All right. Well, that was the encore of Mailbag, and we're gonna move
great
on
questions.
To our lyric of the week. All right, lyric of the week this week, not on a studio album. Unless you count Lost Dogs, it's from the No Code Sessions. "Don't Gimme No Lip." Okay, Paul, don't give me no lip. Give me your in-depth, well-articulated analysis of this bad boy.
I pass the baton to you. Why don't you lead this one off?
I'm going to lead and finish it. It means shut up.
Yeah, exactly. It's Leash, just said more succinctly. It's
pretty much just that. Just shut up. Like, quit your gum flap in there. Shut your pie hole. Thanks, Stone.
Exactly.
Let's go to our live cut of the week.
Ready to stand up!
Well, that was the briefest possible lyric of the week. But yeah, you had to tick that box. We just had to do it.
You sure do.
So there it is. Hope you enjoyed that analysis. Put it in a TikTok. Live cut of the week, though, there are 14 options.
Which is crazy.
Which is wild. That's been played 14 times.
Yeah. Guys.
And by the way, Paul, the most recent one was just a tour and a half ago, 2022.
Yeah. I mean, how many times has Fatal been played?
If you can vamp, I can look it up.
Yeah. So what I'm curious about is I want to compare this song played 14 times to Fatal. I'd love to compare it to Breath. I'd love to compare it to
Fatal nine.
Nine. Okay. Let's just stop.
Nine times.
What are we doing?
Hold on. Can I quote Ferris Bueller? Nine times.
Nine times. That's good. We'll stop.
Yeah.
That's good. We don't even need to look any of the other ones up.
That's it.
That alone speaks volumes.
Yeah. Well, there you go. It beat out. How the hell did it beat out Fatal? Fantastic song. Both on Lost Dogs, as Don't Give Me No Lip is, a Stone Penned and Sung song. But yes, I will say, we did rummage through these 14 cuts, and very quickly, a couple stood out above the rest, like little meerkats. And which one are we going with?
We're going to Rio. Let's go to Rio in 2005.
Yeah. December 4th, 2005. Okay, so there you go. Don't Give Me No Lip live from, I think it's the first live cut we've ever had from South America.
I know, it's exciting.
Isn't that wild?
It is wild.
How do you say Don't Give Me No Lip in Portuguese?
No dame.
Do you actually have an idea how to
say it? I don't speak. I have no idea how to say it in Portuguese.
Somebody get Lenny on the phone.
I have no idea.
Maybe Lenny knows.
That is an incredibly difficult language, by the way.
It is.
To learn and speak. Yeah, it's not
easy. The little Portuguese that I know is pronouncing Brazilian and Portuguese soccer players when I'm talking to my friends about soccer. That's pretty much it. In Obrigado, you know, when I was in Portugal, that was what I said. I didn't even know how to say please, to be honest with you. Anywho, there you go. Hope you enjoyed that. Rio de Janeiro, December 4th. That's obviously, it sounds frigid to us, but that's right in the middle of their summer.
I know.
Well, I guess actually, technically, it would be still be spring. But, you know, it's going to be hot down there.
That's true.
So, there you go. Don't Give Me No Lip. Tick it off. I think there's like two songs left, originals, that we haven't done.
Hey.
But that's it.
I know.
Thanks for joining us and listening or watching. Remember, if you'd like to win a free copy of, hit my boom mic here, mic boom. There you go. Paul's doing it too. That's a copy of Dark Matter on vinyl, the single. We're giving that away at the end of the month to one of our patrons. And we've got a bunch of bonus content, including behind the posters. Behind the poster with Brad Clausen, four episodes now available
to you. Such a great perk. Such a great perk.
He is great, and he spins in
arms. We have a cool contest going on the Discord right now where we are it's basically like it's March Madness, but with
it is.
Brad posters. How cool is that?
So we've gotten down, as we're taping this, we've gotten down to the round of 32. So the Sweet 16 will be next. And 'tis the season, of course. So yeah, you know, Patreon, if you want to do that thing, and there's other fun bonus episodes and videos, you can do that. Helps us keep all these lights on and hosting fees and stuff like that. But there's a lot of cool stuff for you. But if you're on the audio only,
you should feed that algorithm is what you should do. Rate, review, subscribe on your preferred podcast platform of choice. Feed it and don't give me no lip when you do.
My goodness. The ferocity, the aggression. I love it. By the way,
I should probably be a little bit more, hospitable when I say
that. Yeah, I was going to say, consolatory.
Like, you know what, Paul? No, I'm not going to feed it now.
Review really negatively. Like, Paul is mean.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just a real quick. Hostile jerk.
Dark Matter is going to be in theaters April 16th, one night only across the nation. So if you didn't already know that, now you do. I think it's Regal Cinemas is doing it. Get on their website, join their little, moviegoers club, buy a ticket, $15. You hear it first in a dark theater in Dolby Atmos, and then you listen to it again with visualizers on the screen. So
you hear it twice.
You hear it twice. How cool is that? April 16th, three days before it comes out to the masses. So that's a cool thing. Very excited about that. Get your ticket as soon as it's possible. And, we'll be back with you next week.
You may have heard it here first.
Probably not, but maybe you did. And if you did, all right. Breaking news. All right, guys. We will see you next week. And until we do, you've been listening to
The State of Love and Trust.